Our true body is a body of complete enjoyment. Isn't that wonderful to hear? Even though we may have never taken our bodies to be a body of complete enjoyment, the fundamental nature of what we are is that complete enjoyment. And that complete enjoyment is not limited by anything. Not limited by anything at all. And especially not limited by the point of view of a body. The complete enjoyment body is vast, like infinite space. And it's the only body there is. And all speech and mind, too, are vast, like infinite space. Speech and mind and body have never been confined within a certain someone. Speech, body, and mind are always entirely free and released as wholly positive basic space. And there's no way to figure that out. There's no way to arrive at the fully evident experience of that unless we simply relax. That's all. Anything that seems to be our mind, relax. Anything that seems to be containing our speech in any way, relax. Anything that seems to be restricting our body in any way, relax. Just rest naturally. As the essence of basic space, and more it's evident that what I'm saying is the case. So, you know, many of you probably have heard things like this before, but perhaps not using this language. But, you know, one of the things about coming here to the Great Freedom Teaching is that we don't just talk about this or point to something that's a possibility. It's guaranteed and promised. So anyone at all who makes a commitment to just this simple reality of relaxation will realize who they are. I've seen the evidence of this over and over and over again. And sometimes it happens quickly and sometimes it happens slowly. It is whatever it is. But just know that by coming here just one time, you'll never be able to forget it. What you hear here will influence your perception, whether you come here only once or you come here and continue to ripen as the warmth of basic space. So, you know, the way that we know what we are is very simple. We're aware. We all experience awareness. And awareness is the dynamic energy of basic space. So, you know, basic space and awareness are inseparable, just like the brilliance of an emerald is inseparable from the emerald, or the color green is inseparable from an emerald. And, you know, you really don't have to do anything. You don't even have to relax. If you just keep coming here, you'll naturally relax more and more. It's just so easy, it really is. But really consider this that I'm going to say next. Who we already are. So you see, it's obvious. It's completely a blazing splendor in every millisecond of our life. And it's so obvious that we may have missed it just because a lot of people don't recognize that reality, so are talking about something else. But no matter what is being talked about, it's all basic space. And the more we relax, the more we realize that. And the more we realize that, the more we're at ease. So, you know, in a practical way, what that means is that situations that make us uptight now or make us feel emotional states that are uncomfortable or any other point of view, all of those things just naturally relax and become easeful. So you see, this is what it really means to be a human being. And it's not something that's rare or inaccessible or only for the elect. It's something we all already are. We already are this pristine reality of a basic space that is entirely timeless and dimensionless. So as we are timeless and dimensionless, we can't possibly be confined by anything that's defined by space and time. Space and time are just points of view. They might be convenient points of view, but they've never hampered or imposed any kind of limitation on utter spaciousness. So, that's it. That's all I have to say. The same old thing over and over again, isn't it? You can't get me off this broken record. The 10 billion permutations of the same thing repeated over and over again. But you see, this is the way the speech of vastness is. It speaks itself. It's a space that speaks itself. And so, you know, there are no limitations on the way in which it can describe itself. It's amazing, you know, and every description, no matter what it is itself. So, you know, it doesn't matter what the label is. And this, as I said, we just can't figure this out through any kind of philosophical approach or intellectual speculation. All we can do is just be at ease, and it becomes more and more obvious. And almost everyone here is very aware of that anyway. Everyone is to some degree or another. But whether you're aware of it or not, whether it's fully evident to you or not, just know that it will become fully evident. And all it really takes is first hearing a description of the reality of who we are. That's the first thing that's required. And then next we have to, if we really want it to be fully evident, make a commitment to that. And then we have to be not only committed, but we have to really be confident that it's already the case. In other words, not being at war with ourselves continuously. Is it the case or isn't it the case? But even if we don't totally buy it, just acting as if it is the case. And then the more that we are committed to just utter relaxation in every millisecond, then the more that confidence becomes a certainty. You know, we become absolutely certain that that's who we are. And not only do we become absolutely certain that that's who we are, but it's obvious we've never been anything other than that. So you see, even though it may seem like we've pretended to be something we aren't, we can never pretend to be who we aren't. It's impossible. Because we already are who we are, so, you know. This just becomes more and more obvious. Who we are, you know, we can't realize who we are through trying to shape our conduct or our emotional states or our thinking into a defined circumstance that makes us into something better than we already are. Do you understand what I mean? Like, we don't have to become more honest. We don't have to become more virtuous in any other way. We don't have to change any thoughts we're having or any feelings we're having or any conduct we're having. We don't have to feel guilty about the accumulation of our conduct in the past or feel uncomfortable about all these hideous thoughts and feelings we've had all of our lives. Or we don't have to try to latch on to the great thoughts and feelings and conduct we've had all of our lives. We simply need to be at ease, and the more we are, the more we realize that all of these thoughts, feelings, sensations, and actions are all nothing but pure space. And in that, we realize an inherent well-being and benefit that emanates potent and miraculous blessing in every single moment. So all these things we strive to become in terms of being good people are already inherently present. They're already inherently already the case, always the case, but totally unrealized if we think we have to work for them. They become evident only through natural rest. So this is what complete enlightenment is, to be completely at ease as holy, positive, basic space that is purely aware and is continually emanating benefit. The benefit of enlightened body, speech, and mind, vast like infinite space, with no impediment or attachment whatsoever. So, you know, all the things we work so hard to achieve are already naturally present. And it just can't possibly seem that that's the case as long as we're considering ourselves to be all of our points of view, all our thoughts, feelings, and sensations. But the moment we begin to relax, a whole new reality unfolds. An amazing reality, a wondrous reality, an untold reality. I just, you know, everyone here, you already realize that to some degree. Or maybe fully, you know. But whatever it is that's realized, it, in each moment, it's more magnificent. It always seems like it couldn't be any more magnificent, and it always is. So you see, this is the unbounded or boundless quality of infinite space. Everything is this vastness of basic space and nothing else. And as human beings, all we really are is the self-knowing awareness by which holy, positive, basic space knows itself. And the only way we might not recognize that fully is just by hearing a lot of other things from other people and then taking ourselves to be whatever we've heard we are from other people. And so, you know, when we come to a circumstance like this for the first time, we might hear about a reality that rings true. It sounds so right. It just sounds so tender, delicious, warm, completely real, no matter what we've taken ourselves to be. And then, just by exposing ourselves to the reality of what we are, by hanging out with other people who are already living as that reality, it becomes more and more obvious. It just naturally does. You know, if you say you want to have your house cleaned, and so you hire a house cleaning service to clean your house. Well, you know, when you hire them, you expect them to give you what you're paying for. That's just natural, you know. If they didn't do what they said they were going to do, then you'd hold them to account. You'd have them come back and make sure that what they had promised was taken care of. Well, you know, the whole matter of being who we are, it's not different, any different than that. When we come to a circumstance like this, it's sort of the ultimate service that's being provided. The full service organization, the full service of holy positive basic space. So when we come to a circumstance like this, we can really expect, or you know, with discernment, we really must and should expect that what we want will be delivered here, that the result will be delivered, and that we'll be supportive in our commitment to that every step of the way. So, you know. This is really no different than any other business. Isn't that shocking? <laughs> 100% guarantee. Are there any questions? Yeah, I call that the hamster wheel.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. How do you know you're in the hamster wheel, or whether you're, because as soon as you recognize that awareness, you're no longer in that awareness. Well, you are, but you're kidding yourself by looking at it.
Only if you think you are. You know? Well, you know, you're resting as awareness, and then you have the point of view that you're contriving resting as awareness. Well, the point of view contriving resting as awareness is also pure space. It doesn't matter what the point of view you have, it is awareness only. So, you know, see, this makes it so easy because you can't possibly contrive anything. Everything is pure space, and everything is only because awareness is primary in it, you know. Whatever you experience, awareness is the root of it. So if you experience your thing as an unawakened nobody, or you experience yourself as the greatest Buddha of all time, the root of both is awareness, you know. So it's only awareness. It doesn't matter what you take yourself to be. It's awareness only. So, you know, this is a tremendous relief. It's just a tremendous relief, because none of your countless points of view can possibly get you in trouble. So, you know, this is the meaning of complete ease, complete and total ease. No matter what point of view you have, it can't take you out of awareness. Nice, huh? It doesn't mean, you know, we run around acting like an idiot, you know. Sometimes when we are starting to become familiar with this, we do once in a while act like an idiot. Because it feels new. There's a transition going on. So traditionally, what has occurred in Pinnacle Teachings is that people pair themselves up with somebody who's already totally free, and that person acts as their mentor to guide them through the integration of all these things. Because, you know, freedom is amazing. So all kinds of things can and do happen. So, you know, traditionally, when someone woke up, so to speak, they would never do anything like start teaching right away. It just wouldn't be allowed. There would be a ripening within that awakening that occurred while one came totally to ease with just the really startling reality of who one really is. You know, it's so amazing. And if that kind of support, you know, you understand this, it's a simple human matter, really. If that kind of support isn't available, all kinds of things can happen. You know, we see this. We have access to all the stories today of different things going on in different circumstances. But you know, the reality of great benefit is that it is greatly beneficial on all levels of one's life. It's greatly beneficial on all levels of one's life. So, you know, the whoever is in our life, how could they not always be in our life? Since all points of view, no matter what they are included and contained within us. And when we realize this about ourselves, there's no possible way to cut anyone out. Do you see what I mean? Since everything is basic space and it is us, we have nothing but the impulse to honor and love everyone that we've known, or, you know, just to take ultimate care of them and in all ways, whether they are living as basic space or not. You know, we know they are basic space, and there's just this impulse of total caring and warmth in all circumstances. So, you know, this isn't anything that we have to try to make ourselves into. We already are who we are. And as we experience more and more, decisively experience more and more of the ease of this incredible warm reality of complete relaxation, the more we have wonderful relationships with all people. So what great freedom really is a worldwide community of mutual support for living totally at ease. You know, when I woke up 24 years ago, so to speak, what really happened is I simply realized who I'd always been and always would be. So, you know, when that happened, after that I was looking around and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you could go anywhere in the world and you could just have a place to go and be totally free, and you could count on that being there, you know, that no matter what city you went to, there'd be some kind of open meeting you could go to and just hear all these wonderful things about who you are and not hear anything else. And so I thought, you know, that must be available somewhere, but I looked around and I didn't really find it anywhere. So, you know what that meant. Because, you know, one of the things as I started meeting people, I'd meet people who'd be involved with a spiritual community, and then something would happen. You know, either they wouldn't any longer feel comfortable there, or they'd be expelled, or, you know, whatever it was. And then sometimes the people had been very intimately involved with the teacher and even lived with the teacher for many years, and then suddenly they'd feel like they had no place to go, that they were just in nowheresville. And I was so moved by that. You know, I thought there has to be a place where people can come that's like a foundation where anywhere in the world they can go to a neutral place, so to speak. And no matter who the teachers are that they visit or they're involved with or the teachings, but there's always this foundation, always this totally free space. Anyone can go and anyone can be, and no one can ever kick them out or make them sign up for a membership or anything else. So yeah, that's what great freedom is. We have open meetings all over the world. Anyone can come to the open meetings, whether they're involved in the teaching, all the aspects of the teaching or not. Not only do we have the open meetings, but if there isn't an open meeting available, we have teleconference teachings that are always available, that are just like this, so yeah. We're in the process of putting all the recordings from satsang up on our website, so all those are being archived now and titled and annotated in a way so people will know what they contain. And freedom is always free, you know, it doesn't have any trappings at all. Any questions or comments?
Sometimes you say that there is no cause and effect. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, when I take a knife and cut my finger, there is at least a high possibility that blood will run out. Or, you know, people making yoga expect that their body will be more flexible, and they see that, so it seems to be like cause and effect.
It does, doesn't it?
Can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, you know, basic space is basic space. It's entirely pure and there's nothing else going on. You know, it's a warm environment of awareness. So, you know, just think of the thing you like to do best to feel totally comfortable, bubble bath, cuddling up in bed, or you know, whatever it is. Just total warmth and relaxation and being at ease, where, you know, you're never thinking about cause and effect or whatever it is. See, as long as we have the point of view of cause and effect, there will be cause and effect. It's as simple as that, but, you know, the true reality is that it's entirely possible for people to cut their fingers and not have no cut or no blood. This is a reality that occurs, and it's also possible for people to walk through walls and fly through space and have knowledge of all everything, you know. So I mean, if as long as we believe in cause and effect, of course we'll never sample the reality that I'm talking about. Never. We might in some way sample it, you know, but we won't sample the fullness of it. So, you know, I'm not talking about a reality that's like New Age affirmations. I'm talking about a reality that is absolutely the case, you know, absolutely the case, guaranteed, when we're committed to taking it all the way. So, yeah. Sometimes when people hear that there's no cause and effect, questions like that come up. As long as we believe in points of view of cause and effect, that we live within a realm of cause and effect, then that'll be the case. But, you know, there are records of people who have lived for 1,000 years, and there are records of all kinds of things that are even going on right now. Things that, from point of view, one would never conceive as possible. It's, you know, like in The Matrix, where the little girl is bending the spoon. And Neo's trying to bend the spoon, and she said, well, there is no spoon. You know, he couldn't bend the spoon, and then she said, well, there is no spoon, and then he could bend the spoon. Well, you know, that's kind of an oversimplification, but everything is pure space. So when everything is pure space, and there's the appearance of someone walking through a wall, no one is walking through anything. Do you see what I mean? So, yeah, and you know, it may sound inconceivable, but what could be more inconceivable that all of this is a manifestation of your own awareness? Everything you perceive or conceive, and everything you ever have perceived and conceived, everything you ever will perceive and conceive is all your own awareness. That's all it is. So more and more, when we relax, we realize that all the perceptions and conceptions are our awareness only, and that there's never been a division, that there's only this totality of pure space. Not, you know, as an abstraction, but as a vivid reality, of total splendor that's unremitting night and day. So, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing at all to be afraid of. All fears, no matter what they are, those two are pure space. All circumstances we might be afraid of or not want to, or that we're hoping won't happen, whatever it is, they're all pure space too. So, you know, as long as we believe in a point of view of fear, there will be fear. And we can't get rid of the point of view of fear by trying to replace it with love or hope or any other salve. That can never happen. All we can do is relax as fear and realize that it is pure space. But it's like any other thing with a label. It is completely uncompounded. It's never been compounded into anything. Okay.
I don't even know how to ask this question, but when I apply all of this just to myself, it's, you know, it's coming along. But the minute I hit the wall is when I, so maybe I haven't gotten it at all, but when I try and apply it when there's another person or another group involved, they don't, you know, and they might be opposing, or they may have another agenda. How do you deal with that? They don't dissolve their agenda, which might be opposite of yours, doesn't dissolve. You still have an issue that needs to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just don't evaporate into whole space, and the issue just resolves, so everybody's happy. That's not been my world so far.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see how that is from now on. You know, what about right now? Just know that the relaxation and ease you're feeling right now, with no projections about what's going to happen in the future. You see, past, present, and future really don't even exist. There's only timeless awareness. So the ease that you feel now, you'll find that whenever these so-called future situations occur, ease doesn't have a time frame. So the ease that you feel now, it will just grow and grow. It will have greater and greater increase, seemingly, in your everyday life.
And through this, you can achieve walk through the wall, i.e. opposition?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. When there is no opposition, there's no opposition. Yeah, that's all a point of view. And you'll just be surprised what will happen. That, yeah, so just continue to relax. And when all these points of view come up about this, that, or the other thing, the more you're totally at ease, the more it's realized they're all free in their own place. They can't move you out of ease because they too are ease. They are your ease. They're just, you know, complete comfort in the immediacy of whatever that point of view is. So you already know this. You're just becoming more comfortable with it.
I have a scenario I just can't seem to get around.
Well, let's talk about more about that during the intensive. How's that? Yeah. Well, in the Great Freedom Teaching, I've seen all kinds of scenarios that can't be gotten around, so to speak. And then, you know, in my own personal experience, I had a huge experience I couldn't get around when I was a young woman. And, you know, my whole world fell apart. All my doing of trying to make myself into a successful somebody, no matter how successful I was, I never felt successful. So I knew that I had reached a dead end. And everything in my life just seemed to fall totally apart because all these things I'd put together that I thought would be so satisfying and fulfilling just weren't. They had no substantiality of satisfaction or fulfillment whatsoever. No matter what I achieved, it didn't work, you know. I'd be given all kinds of honors and acclaim and everything else. And I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do for an encore? And so, you know, I just had no idea where to go from there. And it really seemed insurmountable. So it was a scenario that was insurmountable. I didn't know how I was going to continue in any of my relationships at all in life. And so in that, I realized that this huge cacophony of all of the sound and uproar of myself just totally sinking into madness, I can't describe it any other way, that all of that, no matter what the thoughts, feelings, sensations, and perceptions were, that they had an underlying reality. That no matter what their labels were, their true substance was great relief, and that relief was totally pure like space. And when I just rested as that, all of these scenarios took care of themselves. You know, I didn't have to do anything. Everything's already complete in itself.
I love stories, and you keep referring to this awakening. Is it disrespectful to ask you to tell us the story with specifics, or do you not wish to do that? You know, I'd love to hear your story, but maybe that's not.
Do you have a few days? Well, I've told it in some detail. But I could go into more detail about nothing, about absolutely nothing. I was raised in the West, you know, and I was born into a circumstance of comfort where I really didn't have to worry about anything, and it was very homogeneous, you know. And I was on a track. I always had a sense of a reality a very strong sense of reality, but I couldn't figure out why I had the sense of reality, but it didn't seem like anyone else had the sense of reality. Or if they did, they weren't exhibiting it in their own lives. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just go along with what everyone's saying, and the points of view that I was raised with were, you know, that I was a woman or a girl, and that I'd grow up and I'd get married, and that I should go to college, and I should choose the right husband, and have a couple kids, and own a house, and belong to clubs, and have my own car, and, you know, my husband would have his own car, so all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, that I would do good works for the community, that I wouldn't gossip. And so all these things were things that were inculcated in me by my family. And in terms of living from point of view, I must say my family, they're really good at it. You know, they have a very refined way of living from point of view. They are nice people. They're really nice people. Very sweet people. My mother is just incredible. You know, 6 children, and each child feels like they're totally special. You know, complete unconditional love. Complete unconditional love, no matter what's going on, even for me, you know. So, and she's seen these huge shifts in me, and not really been able to describe in her own way what's going on, but is always open, is always spacious to whatever might be occurring. And so, you know, all the while I was growing up, my mother would say to me, "You're not living up to your potential. You're not living up to your potential." I heard this refrain over and over again, no matter what I did. And when I was 28, I was named one of the outstanding young women in America. And my mother still said, "You're not living up to your potential." So, you know, I had a lot of strong feelings about her. But, you know, she was right. She was absolutely right. She could see that there was something there that I hadn't really realized about myself, and that I would. And so at the same time that she would say that, she would also support me as I went through all these shifts so that I could eventually relax. And, you know, so when I faced this period in my life of just not being able to come to terms with anything that was going on, all of these things that I had set up for myself, you know, the beautiful home, the loving husband, the successful husband. I was successful in my own right. I had joined all the right clubs. I had my car. I had all this stuff. That I had a loving family, my birth family, my brothers and sisters. There really wasn't anything wrong. Do you get where I'm going with this? It was all okay. But I did not feel okay in any way. So all of this cinematography of what everything was supposed to be that made a good life, the perfect movie, it was all in place. But none of it felt good. In fact, it didn't feel good at all. It felt really devastating. So, you know, I had a good life. I contributed a lot to the community. I was a member of the Junior League. I did all of these things that had been set out for me to do. And it left me feeling hollow and vacant. So no matter what the accoutrements were, I felt increasingly devastated by my circumstances. And then I couldn't figure out how that could be the case, that I was doing all the right things, but I just felt devastated, that no matter how good I tried to be, that goodness didn't lead to goodness. Do you understand what I'm saying? I knew that there was a goodness that was beyond any of that somehow. And so when I was faced with the horror of an appraisal of my entire life and all this strenuous effort to be a good somebody, including prayer, I prayed from the moment I was born. And I was a very devout Catholic until I was about 16. And so, you know, in every area of life, I'd really gone for the points of view that would make me into the best possible somebody. And I must say that all of that served me completely because I was rigorously committed. So when it came time to be rigorously committed to something else, I could be. But what I became rigorously committed to was this relaxation in the immediacy of the horror of all my perceptions, where I was taking an inventory of my entire life and seeing that all these points of view, no matter what they were, whether they were high points of view, low points of view, good points of view, bad points of view, all the good things I'd done for people, all the resentments I'd had, all the good feelings, all the bad feelings, the thoughts, which none of us can ever control, some thoughts wonderful, other thoughts horrible, lots of thoughts neutral, that all of this stuff that was appearing, that it was all appearing within the constancy of this warmth of great relief. That's all I knew. And it was the only thing that was giving me any relief. And I had no goal. So I did not have the goal of permanent relief. I had no goal of permanent relief because I had no idea that permanent relief existed. I had no idea whatsoever that permanent relief existed, that that could be a possibility for a human being. But so all I did was rest, just like I'm suggesting to you, that no matter what the perception was that came up, I realized the ease, the total ease that is the reality of me as that perception, and that there wasn't anything else. There was only that complete ease. And because I couldn't tolerate the circumstance I was in of complete discomfort. And discomfort really isn't a good enough word to use to describe what I felt. I felt terror and paranoia and bewilderment and complete despair. So that's what I felt. But no matter what I felt, I would rest as the ease of whatever the perception was. And as I did so, this wondrous reality unfolded naturally in and of itself. So, you know, years later I found out that in all the pinnacle teachings of total freedom, exactly this method that was intuitive to me in those moments of waking up, that's exactly the approach that's always been taken. Rest is best, rest naturally in the immediacy of perception. And when we do, we realize this glorious reality that's total comfort, total relief. In no way an inert void, even though it's pure and entirely empty, not an inert void, a vibrant, warm reality that is always already present. So everything I suggest to you, I suggest to you only by virtue of my own direct experience. And because I had no context for what was occurring and whether it was religious or not, spiritual or not, or whether it was a philosophy or a psychology or any other thing, it was only the underlying basis of everything altogether. It didn't have to have a name or category or any images associated with it. It's just simply the reality of all images.
This seems to be quite common back through the traditions and just even now about people going through what they call it the dark night of the soul, right before they make a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I was thinking of, you were talking yesterday too about back through the traditions, you always hear these stories and I never quite understood them till kind of, you know, the word rest of how these people and back through history would be, you know, doing meditation and doing everything they could for forever trying to awaken, and finally they just give up. They give up. They say, "I don't care," and rest. And boom. You know, there's all kinds of stories, all different times and.
Uh-huh.
And the other question I have, which is kind of silly, but I'm just curious. You know, I heard years ago when I heard about you, the people mentioned something about Denny's. They would say, Candace is this teacher that woke up in Denny's.
Oh yeah, that's true. I guess I haven't mentioned that since I've been here, have I? Yeah, I was in a Denny's restaurant, so you know, I wasn't in Rishikesh, or you know, so I circumambulate Denny's. I was in Denny's having coffee. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right.
How long have you been taking this on the road, so to speak, taking this message?
You mean all over the world, mm-hmm. just for a few years. Really? But before that, I taught for many years, so to speak. But I just gathered together with people.
In Bolinas or just?
Wherever I was. I traveled quite a bit throughout the world because I wanted to see what people needed in different cultures and what kind of a teaching could reach everyone and what kind of language needed to be used to reach everyone. So wherever I went, increasingly there would be people who I would be sharing this with, yeah. And then I formalized it a few years ago, yeah. And since it's been formalized in terms of a written teaching and our incredible website and all the services we offer, it's just exploded, yeah. Uh-huh. And we'll have retreats too based on the two teachings, the basic space of rest and the way of rest they're like, you know, the portions of the inquiries that are called the basic space of rest. That's all the teaching is. It doesn't include any other looking into point of view.
It's all gone by then.
That's right. Would everyone like to hear part of that from the basic space of rest? Shoshana could read it. Shoshana, could you read? Would you like to come sit up here with me? Sure, come up here.
Just as apparent points of view are indescribable by nature, the nature of awareness which perceives them is the essence indescribable, like pure space. I know this indescribable reality to go beyond description, imagination, or expression. In naturally occurring timeless awareness, the ultimate essence, there is no causality. So the abyss of point of view is crossed. There is no better or worse. So points of view are an integrated mandala. There is no error or obstruction. So all points of view are cut through. Pure awareness, the true nature of points of view, can be likened to pure space and is not defined by any extreme or bias, for it is indivisible by nature. So there is no outlook to be cultivated, no commitment to be upheld, no effort to be made in terms of activity, nothing to obscure timeless awareness, no levels on which to train, no paths to be traversed, no subtle factors, no divisions, no dependent relationship. Since value judgments are transcended, there are no extremes or categories such as positive, neutral, and negative points of view. The vast expanse of awareness, like pure space, is that it entails no differentiation or exclusion, is the naturally occurring nature of human awareness, indescribable by nature and beyond all characterization and expression. Within the ultimate essence of awareness, there is nothing to improve upon. So positive actions bring no benefit. There is nothing to deteriorate. So negative actions inflict no injury. There is no action-related causality. There is no happiness or suffering as its inevitable consequences. There is no better or worse. There is no rejection of point of view or acceptance of awareness. There is no way to think of or express this essence. So there is freedom from all such attempts. As holy, positive, basic space, uncontrived and free of anything to rely upon, assuming pacific bodily postures and trying to meditate on awareness binds us to apparent points of view. If my awareness is not free of extremes and unbiased points of view prevent me from experiencing rest. Without the confidence that comes from resting, naturally, as the timeless freedom of holy positive basic space in which nothing need be done. Realization is constrained by wishful thinking and fleeting meditative experiences. Without the key point of resting naturally and not seeking anything, awareness is not recognized by reliance on causality. Thus, it is kept secret from those who believe in cause and effect because they cannot encompass it. I come to a decisive experience of causality. The ultimate meaning of awareness lies in the fact that in itself it is immaculate, as wholly positive basic space, not sullied by anything, not characterized by anything, and transcending everything. It is illustrated by the orb, the sun, powerful and complete. Regarding all description, fixation and deliberate effort concerning points of view, there are no distinctions to be made, in that these are equally obscuring and binding. This is similar to the fact that light clouds obstruct the sky, just as dark clouds do. All points of view can be summarized in terms of awakened awareness, which is equal to space, as the unique nature of point of view, that is great and timeless freedom. There is primordial freedom, freedom as born expanse. There is freedom as a single reality of evenness, freedom as the expanse of timeless awareness. There is total freedom, freedom as the timelessly unfolding expanse. Awareness in essence primordially, free as the unborn expanse of unique reality, is such that it is beyond anything that can be described as this or that, and so be confirmed or refuted. Thus, it is refinement that constitutes the expanse of timeless awakening. Since it is already naturally present as the ground for all that arises, it rests as consummation in light of its guaranteed unfolding. The phase timelessly awakened as unchanging, vibrant reality refers to the unique way in which great freedom is naturally present. The reality of wholly positive basic space is naturally occurring timeless awareness. It is endowed with the essence of empty yet lucid awareness. It is timeless awareness as basic space, and is the reality of great freedom, the natural presence of all points of view. Such awareness is naturally occurring, timeless awareness, empty yet lucid. Since it is empty in essence, it is not subject to the extreme of naive affirmation. Since it is lucid by nature, it is not subject to the extreme of non-existence. And since its dynamic energy is responsive, it is the basic space for what arises. It is not subject to any extreme. Basic space has never existed as anything whatsoever, and so is beyond the scope of any point of view, having no point from which to view. It can be characterized in any way at all, and serves as the open avenue of skillful means. Nonetheless, being unobstructed, it is free of any conceptual framework that could characterize or describe it. even if I label it as existence, in essence, it has never existed. Even if I describe it as non-existent, by nature, it is continuously dynamic, since it is beyond description. It occurs in an obstructed way, on an unobstructed way. The indescribable expression of naturally occurring timeless awareness, the true nature of point of view, is vast and spacious, beyond point of view. It is self-knowing awareness, unimaginable and expressible. It is pristinely lucid. I have never known separation from it. It is always directly revealed in my perception. It is supremely pure, free of limitation, and beyond any extreme or division. I realize the great freedom of timeless awareness as myself. I decisively experience the dynamic energy of wholly positive basic space. It is discovered without being sought, ensured without being achieved.
Thank you, Shoshana. The speech of wholly positive basic space is impeccable. It's totally impeccable. It's just like, you know, what Shoshana read. There is such utter sweetness in that. It's just such sweetness. It's like being made love to in the way you've always wanted to be made love to. It just feels so absolutely right. I know you can all feel how distinct it is from writing that talks about awakening. This is so distinct because it's the actual voice of enlightened speech. It's the actual voice of the pure basic space that is the essence of everyone. The formation of words into syllables and phrases, sentences, paragraphs and pages that speaks only about who we are and never has any indication that anything else has occurred. So, you know, it's very, very important for us to read and hear things that are only about who we are. Only about who we are. And that's really the purpose of the Great Freedom Teaching. Thank you so much, Shoshana. When you read, each word is just so rich with the reality of everything. Each word is just so profoundly the depths of basic space. Are there any other questions or comments before we close for today?
I would just like to show my gratitude from the depths of my heart.
Oh, thank you, Shoshana.
For this opportunity to go even further. My fear is not there anymore.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know, it's so amazing in realizing yourself to be aware basic space. Where would fear attach to anything? Fear is just pure space. So coming here with a lifelong fear, and then it's just vanishes into basic space. Everything is always released in basic space, no matter what it is. Every thought we have, every feeling, every sensation, it's all basic space. It's all instantaneously released in basic space. Pure space, the true description of who we are.